So we made it. We've survived this liturgical year, and we've arrived at this last Sunday where we celebrate the great solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe. In this last few days of this liturgical year, we prepare for Advent, which begins next weekend. So just like in our calendar year, when we approach New Year's Eve and the beginning of a new calendar year, we take an account of our life. We examine the year that's just passing to see how we've done. The goals that we set at the beginning of the year, how well have we kept them? What advances have I made, or what regression has come into my life? We take an accounting of our life as we want to turn the calendar. So in our spiritual lives, this is a great time to do it, a great week to do this as we prepare for the new year, so that we can really start to live, or more fully live, a liturgical life, allowing the mind of the church to form our minds and our hearts as we go through the different cycles, the different seasons, that we really begin to put on the mind of Christ. And so it's a great way to end this year by honoring and recognizing Christ the King. It should be our first principle, our first thing, is recognizing who God is. And the readings that the church gives us for this cycle, for year A, as we're completing our reading of Matthew's gospel, this first reading where Christ, or the God promises us the shepherd, and how intimate and personal he is in this reading. You know, sometimes we can have the idea that the God of the Old Testament was this mean God, this distant God, this violent God who only wants retribution, or is distant from his people. And it's only with Jesus that God became, you know, this soft, cuddly little baby and, you know, this kind of hippie peace guy where everything is fun and fine and just love. But how intimate he is. I mean, there's just a few verses. I think 9 or 10, maybe 11 times the personal pronoun I is here. I myself will look after my sheep. I will tend my sheep. I will rescue them. I will pasture them. I will give them rest. I will seek them out. I will bring back the strayed and bind up the injured, heal the sick. I will destroy those who are sleek and strong. I will judge between. How intimate God was telling us he wants to be in our life. And so if we want to examine how well we allow God, Jesus, to be the King, not only of the universe, but the King of my life, how intimately is he involved in my daily life? Have I surrendered to him? Have I really given over power of my life to him? Is he really my shepherd? We celebrate Christ the King, and it's an for us as Americans, it's an interesting type of title, because the whole reason our country exists is because we didn't want a king. We wanted to be self-governing and autonomous in our rule. And here it is, Mother Church saying, no, that's not the proper way. In the history of the church, the Christian church, 2,000 years, this is a relatively young feast. It was only 95 years ago, I think that's the right math, in 1925, when Pope Pius XI gave us this feast. He became Pope in 1921, I think, and he was writing at the very beginning of his pontificate about the ills of the world because we have forgotten God. And if you remember that time, right after the Great War, World War I, and the rise of these regimes, especially in Europe, totalitarianism, statism, communism, Marxism, socialism, all of these governing principles that sought to take the place of God in the lives of the people, to usher out God from their life and let the state be their God. And so Mother Church, in her wisdom, from the very beginning of this rise of these atheistic, godless regimes, was reminding us, her children, that God should be our King, and that we must surrender to him. And we see in our present day, even with some type of autonomous rule that we think we have in this country, what happens when we remove God from our political system? All the anger and violence that we see in the streets, that we see in conversations, that some of us even feel in our heart. When we identify our lives with a political perspective, and that those politics now become the governing principle, then that becomes my God. And so we can say without a doubt that, especially today, 50% of the country has one God, and the other 50% has the other God. Maybe we'll go 48-48, because some of us might be in the middle. But if that's my God and you're not, then you're my enemy. And if this is my God and that's not, then you're my enemy. We've set up a system where it makes it impossible to see the other as an object of my love. And so this test that Jesus gives us in the gospel, we will fail. And we are failing. Look in the streets. Look in the world. Look in, even in our hearts, our homes, our churches. We're failing this test of Matthew 25, that whatever you do to the least, because we see so many of the least of the others just as that. As other. And so we pray for the grace to allow God the proper place in our life, to truly surrender to Him as King of the universe. And it begins right here at Mass. It's in the liturgical life of the church. So as we follow the different seasons, the different festivals, the different changing of the colors as we come to Mass, we allow this to be our governing principle. So as we come to Mass, even when we gather in a gymnasium, when the little red light is on, do we genuflect well? Do we use our bodies to tell the world and ourselves that God is here? How do we dress when we come to Mass? Are we alerting ourselves and the world that we're going to see the King? Have we prepared well to come to this Mass? Or is it just one more thing? When I approach the altar, when I approach the minister to receive Holy Communion, what's the disposition of my heart? Am I truly, fully aware that I'm about to receive the King of the universe, the Creator of all things? Do I bow profoundly, or do I kneel to receive? And if I receive on the tongue or in my hand, how reverently am I receiving the King of the universe? When I hear the name of Jesus proclaimed in liturgy, do I bow my head? All of these bodily gestures, these postures that Mother Church asks of us, so that we can reinforce within us that God is King. If we think about how we act out in the world, the things that we give reverence to and respect to, the rules of order that we follow in different situations, should it not be so much more here at the Holy Mass? And this is in no way a judgment or a condemnation. It's a mere invitation. Because we are fighting a battle. And the world wants your heart. The world wants to kill you. It's the real goal of the world, who's been given over to the power of Satan. And so we have to actively and consciously fight against it. And the fight, the battle, is in our heart. And so what a beautiful gift to come first thing bright and early on a Sunday morning as a sign of reverence and respect to Christ the King. In the gospel, we hear about the judgment at the end of the time. The right and the left, the sheep and the goats. We will be judged. But there's no reason to be afraid. We have a right to that eternal life with the saints and angels around the throne of our Father in heaven. It's our right from our baptism. It's where God wants us. if we allow him to be our king, if we allow him to be our shepherd, then we have no reason to fear him as our judge. Let's pray for that grace to truly allow the King of the universe to shepherd us. Because as we said in the responsorial psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and there is nothing I shall want. Amen.